I mean, I guess Giuseppe could sound like a six pack of beer. I was thinking, you know, I'll have an ice cold Erlacher. How's that? Nice tall Erlacher.
I would have one of those.
Yeah.
I could also have like a sixer of Ostertag.
Ooh.
Ostertag, that's A+. A+.
I could be a Carlos Boozer.
That sounds like something like a plastic bottle. You know, let me just get the pint of Boozer, please. Thanks.
Yep. At the 7-Eleven. It's 99 cents, though. So
I'll be the corny, like, hipster IPAs, you know.
Exactly. I'll be the douchey guy and have, like, a Jameis Winston on the rocks.
12-year, please.
Of course, the 12-year.
I think a Dino Radia is like a $10 handle of vodka.
Oh. Ooh, like Asian vodka. Itrio could be an Asian beer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Ichiro bombs.
Oh, yeah. Yes. You know, line up six of them. Ichiro. You're at the hibachi grill. Boom. Even your little your chef is doing it. Yeah, that's a great time. Ichiro bombs. I think like any Russian hockey player could be some sort of vodka, you know. Give me three shots of Ovechkin.
Tarasenko.
Yeah.
I'd like a Kirilenko.
These European names are pretty good for this, I think, yeah. In general. Like a Bellinelli. A Bellinelli would be like a Bellini with like garnish with a cigarette.
But that, I think that was the show already. The show took that one though, right? The Bellinelli was
yeah,
wow. That was on the show.
Is it Patty Mills? Is it Patty Mills like a Long Island iced tea kind of drink?
I think a Patty Mills is just like your like cheap. You can get like a 30-pack for like $12.99.
I was thinking
you get a 30 pack of Patty Mills.
I thought the Patty Mills. Would be I thought like it was your knockoff Irish cream.
College kids drink on St. Patrick's Day.
Yep.
I was thinking like a female version of like an Arnold Palmer, where it's like you just mix two things. It's not even alcoholic. It's just lemonade and something else.
It's a spike seltzer. Can I get the Patty Mills?
Would Pete Rose be a cheap wine?
Yeah.
Pete Rose.
Yes, Pete Rose. Yeah.
It's canned. It's canned.
No, it's in a bag. It's in a bag.
It's a gamble to drink.
It's in a bag in a box.
Yes. Slap the rosé.
What would a Scaldrini be?
It's a sandwich. It's, yeah.
Can I get that's Prosecco.
Scalabrini on rye.
Ooh, yeah, it's Scalabrini on the rye, you know, extra dressing on the side. Yeah, I'll take two of those, please.
I think a Scalabrini would be like a white wine that pairs well with like a seafood linguine.
A white fish.
Mm.
Bourbon moms drink it at their kids' travel soccer games.
They put it in their little Yeti cups.
Yeah, the Yeti tumblers so that no one can really see that they're drinking. But yeah, everyone knows that they're having like three or four Scalabrinis in the parking lot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's low-hanging fruit, but it's probably, I mean, DiVincenzo, right? It's definitely a red wine.
That's a fancy red wine.
That's a $45 bottle. Yep.
I feel like that could be a champagne.
Hmm.
You have to say it with a flourish, though. A DiVincenzo.
It's a Prosecco.
It's Italian.
But it's, actually, no, it can't be, because what? Isn't all champagne from France? Real champagne from France?
Real
Proseccos are Italian, though.
It's a sparkling wine. Prosecco, that works.
Champagne.
They have some knockoff. Champagne. I know that Sharon orders it pretty frequently. It's champagne, just not from champagne. But, yeah.
Champagne for my real friends and real pain for my sham friends.
Bars.
Boom.
Bar talk.
A Jack Del Rio.
Oh, Jack. Oh,
that's a mixed drink.
Way too much Jack Del Rio in high school. Yeah, like Jack Del Rio. You never drink again because you had a bad night of Jack Del Rio.
I'm on it once, I'm done.
Yeah.
Too many Jack Del Rios,
Beamer ball, Frank Beamer.
Oh, dude! Yeah, ooh,
another one.
Yes. Bottom of the barrel bourbon. Yeah, just like
Beamer.
A gallon of that is $9.99. Yeah, Frank, give me three Frank Beamers.
Yeah,
Beamer ball.
I think a Luol Deng is like one of those like caffeinated energy drinks that are also alcoholic.
Luol Bang.
Like a bang, yeah.
Luol Bang.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, hey guys, welcome to the post game. I'm at Beep Count on Twitter. Tonight I am joined by Pam. That's at Halloween Basic on Twitter, at Andrew Streeter _, at Fleminem _ Raps, at Stugatz Army 790. And we are joined tonight for the first time by Kiz. Kiz, give everyone your Twitter handle there.
It's at Kiz _13.
All right. Well, hey guys, welcome in. You caught us kind of in the middle, just chopping it up there like a couple of midweek mentions. But we're talking today about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is coming up here, Turkey Day. Is it ever okay to skimp on Thanksgiving ingredients, or what Thanksgiving ingredients is it okay to skimp on? Kij, I'll go to you here.
I always say that, like, honestly, the entrees, I don't really care that much for. Like, I think turkey is overrated. I think, you know,
Roy would disagree.
I think the real magic is in all the appetizers, like a sweet potato casseroles, green beans, mac and cheese. Can't go wrong with that.
Who else does mac and cheese for Thanksgiving? I want it, but we don't traditionally do it where I rye holiday
this year. We usually do like a baked mac and cheese.
Yeah.
A
little bit fancier. We're not like Kraft mac or whatever.
Yeah, with like panko crumbs.
Yep, that's right.
It's the most sought after side ever. Like, it's never talked about the way it should be. I think it's like shameful to love mac and cheese the way most people do. Like, I love
it. It's kind of one of those that like kind of toes the line between a side and a main dish. I think a lot of people eat it as a main dish.
Well, it depends on what you put into it and make it that main dish. You can, you know, put some bacon, or, you know, you get fancy, put some pancetta or a lobster mac and cheese. You know, that's how you can make it, you know, an entree versus just that bring along side. Lou?
You definitely can't skimp on that. You
have Keep your bacon out of my mac and cheese. You can bring your lobster over here, but the bacon taste is too strong. It's not there for the butter, the cheese. Like, take that somewhere else. Keep it out of my mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese takes.
You can stay out of my Thanksgiving dinner.
Wow. You sound like every adult in my family. Thanks, Lou.
I'm just trying to make you feel welcome.
Pam, what about you?
So it struck me today when Greg was talking about buying the cheaper oil that was all of like $9 cheaper. Thanksgiving is one of the meals you don't skimp on. Like, we don't eat really expensive big meals anyway, because there's like a million of us, and yeah, but the holiday meals are not meals we skimp on. Like, that's when you spend money on the food and you buy the expensive cheese and you buy the expensive cut of meat. And yeah, I didn't get the saving $9, especially when it's the turkey, which is the focal point of the meal traditionally. Why would you save $9?
Well, because it wasn't $9 each bottle. It was $9 total.
I was surprised Billy didn't like calculate like 20 years. Well, in 20 years, you would have saved $180.
Yeah.
What's he spending that on?
Actually, yeah, lights.
Think of all the money you'll save if you never have Thanksgiving again.
A blood pressure machine.
Do you guys still do that at the CVS or the Walgreens? You still stick
not now. Cuff?
I have a mobile one that I actually take with me traveling. So I actually have one that I can put on and check my blood pressure at any given point, which sounds like the most Billy thing ever to have.
Are you neurotic? But
no, I just always think I'm dying. So yeah, I guess maybe neurotic.
Yeah. Neurotic.
Yeah. I've convinced myself I'm dying like 3 or 4 different times when I'm traveling. So now I have like things that tell me I'm not dying.
Yeah. So you're not neurotic.
Nope. Panic attacks.
He's not not neurotic. He just has
It's just anxiety.
Panic attacks. Yeah. Yeah.
Ever since that suey.
over under how many more times Flem is going to mention the Sueys on this specific episode? I've got it at 1.5.
Nah, no more. It's just,
I'd say over.
I'm going to take the under.
I'm going to hammer the under.
All right. Well, you're in control of that, so. speaking of hammering the under, Jimmy the Thief, a.k.a. Jimmy Fallon, a.k.a. Jimmy Felon, over here stealing all the show stuff, guys. What's the deal with stealing the show?
First off, we give these late night hosts too much credit for the stuff that goes on in their shows. They have a whole staff room full of people looking for stuff to do, looking for little skits to throw in there, and you know, a lot of it's really hit and miss. And so I wouldn't necessarily say, I mean, he's the face of the show, right? but when he's delivering a monologue and when they're doing bits and stuff, I'd say 9.9 times out of 10, it's not him bringing that to the table, right? So I don't think that this is blatantly Jimmy Fallon stealing. I do think it's been, these bits have been stolen or repurposed for sure. But anyway, I just wanted to get that out of the way. We don't want to give him too much credit for being a thief.
Is there someone out there that started out as like a writer in, you know, late night TV or Saturday Night Live that has just gone way far beyond what they thought they would have? Someone like a Bob Odenkirk?
John Mulaney?
Conan O'Brien.
Okay. Yeah, Conan. Way better than John Mulaney, but to me, John Mulaney.
Tina Fey was a head writer of SNL, and she's done really well for herself.
Oh, Childish Gambino.
Seth Meyers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he wrote, didn't he write for The Simpsons for a little bit?
I think it was Parks and Rec, right? It may have been. I think it was Parks and Rec. I know it may have been The Simpsons too. I know, obviously, a newer episode too, but I think it was Parks and Rec that he first started.
Donald Glover, man.
Yeah, dude is insane. I saw him break his foot or ankle, whatever it was, in Dallas when he did the backflip for his last concert ever. I got to see that live, so that was unfortunate. But he limped off the stage and ended it early.
I saw him when I was in school, and he was like in the. I was in the front row for one of his concerts, and it was probably like one of the most high energy concerts I've ever been to. Where like I was not expecting that from him at all. And it was amazing.
Backpack preppers will do that to you. I want to step back to Streeter, I guess, on Jimmy Fallon. No, because I was so excited, because I was like, this is such a Streeter topic, because I know that he's. Like, he's paying attention to the little details of late night. And so I was super excited, and you came in strong, and I was ready for you to crush Jimmy Fallon. And then you went and blamed it on the writers. I was super, because I was like, this is Streeter's moment. I know he's ready to crush this for stealing funny. And then you ended it with one little jab where you said we were giving Fallon too much credit. So at least you tied it off with, he's not good enough to steal.
I got to defend Jimmy Fallon. I think that's actually a pretty old segment that they've had. I used to watch a bunch of late night, and I remember actually thinking to myself like a while ago whether they actually were feeding these lines to athletes, and I was surprised that they would actually do it. But I think the show talked about it today, where I was listening to it and I was like, oh yeah, there's no way they actually feed these lines to these athletes. Like, they probably just pick up on these random cliches and made a joke out of it.
Well, the show has been getting, you know, fed lines into broadcast since, you know, at least in the mid-2000s with the Florida Panthers. They've been getting, you know, fans to send in, you know, movie lines to do those broadcasts. So that's been going on for at least 10 years.
I love that montage. It's so funny of that guy. I forget his name.
Red. Something.
He's
Randy.
So
isn't Randy? I thought it was Randy something.
Red, Randy.
It's hard, man, because there's just so, especially in comedy, there's, in this day and age, there's so many. There's only so many things that you can do that are deemed as to be original ideas, right? It's the same thing in almost any other medium. You're really taking from your favorites or from people that you think are really cool, and you're just kind of amalgamating it into, you know, your own thing. So, like, it's, you know, I think that super hardcore fans are going to be like at the ready with the pitchforks and the tar and the feathers, right? But, you know.
Or do you think there are diehard Jimmy Kimmel fans out there, or Jimmy Fallon fans?
I'm talking about Dan fans.
I think Dan's fans. About. Yeah, like we're the Swifties.
I'm not talking about this proverbial Jimmy Fallon hive right now. that I can't really imagine.
I'm trying to figure out who these like Jimmy Fallon people that get like really upset. Like, they're listening to the Levitard show and they're like, dude, Jimmy comes up with his own stuff, Dan. Like,
I feel like as much time as we spend on Twitter, we would get the backlash if there was a Jimmy Fallon hive out there. Like, because they're just not there to, even the Unforbidden Barstool nonsense, when they steal things, we don't even hear clap back from telling them they stole shit. And
so, I say, like, and it's because these shows are too, they're monoliths, right? They're like they're too big, I feel like, to have like more than just people that are casual, they're washers of it, right? Like, there's probably some dedicated fans, but it's not even the same thing as a community like what we have here amongst us, right? So you're going to have different attitudes about those things. But I think, you know, imitation is the highest form of flattery, right? Like, I don't think Dan and Stu legitimately take offense to that.
Do you think there's an overlap between like the Levitard show and like PTI? Like, how much of an overlap is there?
Besides the ride home people?
Yeah, it's not PTI, overlap. But like, yeah, the Barstool people.
I guess just on social media, if you'll notice, jokes in general from Barstool, you'll see a blue check make a joke or share a picture, and then immediately 5-10 minutes later, Barstool is sharing a very similar joke or a very similar phrase. Thing like they're I can't remember the football guy that is known for following the other football guy that does the same thing, but basically it's like every time you see somebody, whether they're large or not, it's kind of like the Drake rumors where all these underground rappers were claiming they had rhymes stolen by Drake. Every time I look, there's like a blue check I follow that has like 5,000 follows. They post something hilarious and 10 minutes later it's on Barstool. And again, like, take it as you take it. I mean, I don't fucking know anybody at Barstool, so get over it. But it's just so uncreative because I always see it first, regardless if it's a mass following or not. But the fact that Barstool you never hear their lash back when you tell them they're stealing it. That's where I think Streeter was talking about. It's a cult following with people like this. There's like artists like that too, right? Like, you know, like, I don't know anybody hip hop, like Chameleon or Lupe. Those are like cult followings where people listen and they're not massive. So when somebody takes something from them, the fans go insane. We protect our little gem that makes us hipsters of podcasts. Yep.
That's exactly right.
Zagaki.
Hey, listeners. Check out a new podcast called Yes, Maybe, No with Andrew Streeter and Yeti Blanc. Every week, we'll take a topic from sports, music, and pop culture and break it down beyond the surface. Whether it's the latest hot take or an ongoing story, Yes, Maybe, No will discuss our insights, opinions, and maybe a hot take or two of our own. Will you find us interesting? Will you find us entertaining? Will more people than our mothers listen to us? Yes! Maybe no!
Listen to Yes, Maybe No. Subscribe, download, rate, review, wherever fine podcasts are sold. Or, download it.
Love the Zagaki post game.
Yeah. Zagaki.
Got my Zagaki fill.
There was that, viral post past couple of days. You know, what's one random quote that you say from X show or X movie? Mine is Zagaki. I say Zagaki at least 3 times a day.
My 6-year-old will jump, run into the room and go, "You never know." So
that was mine.
That's how much I say that.
That's my show one. But then I have a movie one, Silence of the Lambs. I say, "Oh wait," all the time. Like if I'm confused, if I don't know what's going on, "Oh wait." I love, "Oh wait, she's a great big bad person." I love that. Like, we say that all the time here.
So, that's good. That's good.
That one's a standard.
Lou, Kish?
I don't really have like a go-to catchphrase or anything from the show that I use all the time. I'll catch myself referencing something from the show. I think the biggest thing is actually combining two words, like what Chris does. And I try doing that in real life sometimes, and no one finds it funny for some reason.
Have y'all tried doing that in a chat with friends that are not this? And just
exactly.
It's the worst. Yeah.
My work chat.
Yeah, they all hate me.
Do a thing, nobody gets it, and then the chat just dies. Yeah.
I do that with Mrs. Beep all the time, and she'll just go, "What the hell?" And then she'll say, "Is that the show?"
Oh my God, this is actually what my wife
does all the time. All the time.
The one thing that and maybe it's a little weird that I have like a heart bad habit of, and it's because my wife is always pointing out something that's wrong. Like, hey, you have something here. And so does Clooney. So I use so does Clooney anytime something's wrong. I'm like, hey, you didn't do this. Like so does Clooney. Or it's not even about a burger. Anything that she tells me is wrong, I just say so does Clooney. And
one that kind of got on my wife's nerves for a while was I would frequently use intergalactically stupid to describe anything at all that I thought was even remotely stupid. I just immediately escalated it to intergalactically stupid.
Which is like going out of your way to insult.
Super Bowl week, Mr. Streeter. All right.
Actually, I think I do Anywell pretty a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I do slip that one in every once in a while. Baby. Streeter, you had a topic here. What were you going to talk about here?
Look, man, I love Greg Cody and I love Chris Cody, and I'm really happy for his, the attention and love that he has gotten. But earlier today on, I think it was the local hour.
It was the local hour today.
Yep.
Or on Tuesday. It was the local
hour. Greg was talking about how he wasn't very confident in his Back in My Day, and he had very good reason to not be confident in his Back in My Day. It was probably the worst one I've ever heard. But Chris was like, oh man, Dad, you're going to use the one that I suggested for you? All right. And he's like getting so like pumped on it. And then they come out there with it, and he mispronounces the name of that species. What was he saying? Like I can't remember what he was saying the whole time.
The bran and oil?
No, it was like a cannoli. It was something with a cannoli.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like just, yeah. Brown he made that E last longer, that long E.
Yeah, well, Ron McGill totally like shot that down, and it was really funny and awkward. It's like, why are you saying that? That's not how that's pronounced. He's like, oh. But it was just, there's been some staler ones, and I'm not usually a big Greg Cody critic, but that was just, it was weird and kind of horrible.
He's a doddering old man. That's all it is. And he's falling further and further into.
But what's really different? Like, okay, it's different from your childhood that you're seeing less of these. Like, I don't know. It was a stretch.
When the best part is, like, you know that Chris taught him how to say that word. Like, there's no way Coach or Chris didn't coach him through. And so this is like when Chris told Dan that, like, Ibaka had like 10 names, and Dan was, that's basically what Cody did. Like, it was like teaching his dad how to sound absolutely wrong.
Dude, I bet, like, I don't think we've ever, I'm from like South Florida, and we've never referenced those lizards by that name. So I bet he just like looked it up and guessed how it'd be pronounced. Cause like those big, like curly tailed lizards are a thing, but we just call them big curly tailed lizards. Nothing else.
That was a mail-in. He thought of something 20 minutes ahead and said, let me Google real quick and see what this is called.
Pam is speaking like somebody who's written a last-minute paper in high school. I'm with you, Pam.
Copy and paste and just kind of change words.
Yeah.
Yep.
Throw a couple of grammar errors in there to make sure. They throw them off the scent.
Yes. Always have to throw a couple of those in there.
I feel like the show today like was like extra kind to like Cody than they normally are, like giving him all the room to kind of like ease him so he doesn't get mad. Because Cody, he was really upset.
Wow. The apology tour.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, he was really upset.
There was a nugget. I'm sorry, Streeter, go ahead.
You're good. No, it also piggybacks on Dick Cody's recent appearance on the Greg Cody show. Right. So like these sentiments have been festering for a while. So yeah, while they were a little more friendly to him, they still got him on network outs. I think both hours.
Yep.
Both hours. Right?
They did.
I think the biggest bone they threw him was they let him talk about the Lobos.
The Lobos.
He hasn't done that in so long, I feel like.
So I actually
was so happy when he was talking about that.
There was a subtle moment where Dan actually said, he was talking to Stu, asking him a question. I don't remember the exact topic. And then he said, he's like, and Cody, I want to get your thoughts on this as soon as Stu's done talking, which Dan usually doesn't vocalize the way they orchestrate the show. he was very much going out of his way to let Greg know, like, hey, I'm going to go to you, be prepared. This is, and that's not common. Dan's usually the type to try to throw it to somebody and see their natural reaction. And that's where I thought, I was like, man, what are they doing with Greg here? Where they're being extra, like they're letting him know, hey, you're still part of this. You're still talking. And so that was a little nugget where I was like, this is awkward.
But we're still going to get you on the hard network out.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
He got plenty of room for self-glorification in the local hour. And he was really just talking about how awesome he is and about how awesome that his show is and how many downloads it's gotten. But it was kind of getting on my nerves, but then he finally was like, and it's all because of my association with Dan. And I'm like, yeah, that's correct. You are right.
I mean, hell, so was ours.
It's true. He's a little less self-aware sometimes.
All right, guys, we want to thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Post Game. We're going to go to the beep count for Monday, November 16th, 2020. This is brought to you by @beepcount on Twitter. Monday's beep count was 227 total beeps for a segment length of 7 minutes and 40 seconds with a 29.61 beeps per minute, which was up 18.9% week over week. This has been your weekly beep count brought to you by @beepcount. All right, guys. Thanks a lot for joining us. We will talk to you next week on the post game.
Peace.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Lauer After Hours. You can always reach us on Twitter @LauerAfterHours or Instagram @LauerAfterHours. We're available wherever you get podcasts, so don't forget to download, subscribe, review, and rate 5 stars.